restructuring of the electricity distribution system. So we've prepared two presentations for today. The first one is on the management performance assessment, and then we would like to ask Mahesh to make a supplementary short presentation on the other issue which you asked us to talk more about today. Just to recap what I said last week is that since we started operating as a department in 2010, we've developed three focus areas for our monitoring and evaluation work within the executive. The first is the focus on the strategic priorities of government, which is the 12 outcomes, and for which delivery agreements have been developed. And the presentation that we made last week was a presentation on the progress of the Department of Energy with regard to its contribution to the delivery agreements which are relevant to it. And we particularly focused on the delivery agreement on economic infrastructure. So I mentioned last week that as a department we are monitoring on behalf of the executive progress the department's work at three different levels. The first level is the outcomes, which is the strategic priorities, and monitoring whether or not we are achieving our targets that we set in those priority areas, and working with departments to use that monitoring information to rework the plans and put in place improved plans so that we can better achieve the outcomes over time. Those delivery agreements don't apply to single individual departments. All of them apply to groups of departments, either horizontally, groups of national departments, or vertically, national, provincial, and local governments. Because all of those 12 outcomes are outcomes which require groups of departments to work together in order to achieve. So, for example, there's about five or six or more departments which assign the economic...
Can I interrupt two of them? I'm sorry. It is, what extent is that understood in government? I mean, Anna is now a family. That strikes me when you say those outcomes can only be affected if they are done collectively. Either horizontally or the system. Now, the five questions should have been in my mind. Everything is in time, you know. To what extent is that being internalized?
I think it is well understood for those outcomes which involve concurrent functions such as basic education and health, those two outcomes, and the local government outcome. The relevant provincial departments are all signatories to the delivery agreements, and they were all participants in the process of negotiating the content of the delivery agreements. And so the implementation of those delivery agreements is managed by the various intergovernmental structures of those concurrent functions. So, for example, the delivery agreement on basic education is managed by the Basic Education MinMet. I think it's called the Council of Basic Education Ministers. And similarly for health, the implementation of delivery agreement is managed by the relevant MinMet. So the other spheres of government are intricately involved in the implementation of the delivery agreements for concurrent functions. Now, as I was saying, the delivery agreements are agreements between groups of departments, either horizontally or outcomes and the outputs that government is producing and the impact of government's work. But in order to produce those outcomes and impacts, you need to have efficient and effective administrations which can convert inputs into outputs so that we can achieve the outputs and outcomes. And previous general assessments of the performance of government, in particular the 10-year review and the 15-year review, identified weaknesses with implementation as one of the key weaknesses of government that need to be addressed if we're going to be better able to improve the performance of government and be better able to achieve our desired outcomes and impacts. And basically what we are presenting on is the implementation capacity of the Department of Energy. This particular monitoring initiative of us basically focuses on implementation capacity on the generic management practices which are used to convert inputs into outputs, which are used to implement government programs. With that introduction, Chairperson, I'd like to ask Ismail to make the presentation.
Thank you, Chairperson, honourable members. If I can start with the background to what this is, I think the DG has covered some of it, but in June 2011, Cabinet gave the approval for annual assessments of management performance of all national and provincial departments using this tool. The DG mentioned that what we are looking at is how departments translate inputs into outputs, and it's only through good management practices that can happen. DG mentioned the 10-year continuous review. But the intention is to develop a culture of continuous improvement and sharing of good practice. And that's what we've introduced. The system that we've introduced is based on some international research that we've done. We've looked at many countries from Russia, India, Canada, New Zealand, and even Kenya. And in all those countries, you have the president or the office of the premier leading a process of continuous improvement. And I think we've developed tools. We've looked at some of the tools and customized it into a South African context. So how we do this? We're working together with National Treasury and DPSA. This has been a collaborative exercise. We've identified 31 generic management standards covering broadly 17 management areas. All that we're assessing is based on existing legislation and regulations. So these are things that departments should be and are legally required to. We've consulted with the Public Service Commission, the Office of the Auditor General, as well as the Office of the Premier in designing these standards, and it's been a collaborative exercise. The DG mentioned at the provincial level we work with the offices of the Premier who do a similar exercise of assessment and support to provincial departments. DPME works mainly with national departments. What we put up there is a broad process that has to go through or that departments are compelled to go through in order to do the assessment. There are three general phases. There's a self-assessment validation phase, there's an external moderation and feedback phase, and then there's an improvement and monitoring phase. If I focus on the self-assessment validation, what we found to be the single biggest value add of the tool is that senior management discussion about the standards and then themselves determining where the department is located. We found that in that process, you get ownership of what the problem is at the highest level in the department, and that essentially is a process of a commitment to improvement. There is an internal verification process where internal audit, although it is a self-assessment, would need to be satisfied that the evidence that the department is producing is able to back up the scores or the ratings that they allocate to themselves. The HOD signs that off and it's then subjected to external peer moderation. Peer moderation, we work with the center departments like Treasury and DPSA, the policy department, but we also recruit moderators from other national and provincial departments who are experts in a particular management area. And their job is essentially to look at the self-assessment statements, how a department has rated themselves, and compare it to the evidence. So that's an external verification process. Feedback is then provided to the department, but the main intention is for the department to then develop an improvement plan, implement those improvements, and prepare for the next round of assessment. So these assessments are not one-off. They're going to be annual assessments, and hopefully then we can develop a track record to see how departments are improving or if they aren't, to intervene. Now, just to focus a little bit on moderation, the results we've published on the 2011-2012 assessment process are available on the DPME website for national departments. The results only reflect the self-assessment. DPME only started the process in last year, and we tested the moderation process. We've learned a lot from it. But going forward for the current financial year, we have committed that we will do more detailed peer moderation of the self-assessments, and we will publish the moderated results. However, I think the first round experience has shown that it was so useful to look at the self-assessment because we found that management were generally frank in assessing themselves, and because the results provide a picture of management's own view of its performance. And as I mentioned, we see that as the biggest value add. Now, to get into the details of the tool, we essentially designed four levels, and we've color-coded them for ease of reference. So level one means that a department is non-compliant with the legal or regulatory requirements in that management area. We've designed a level two, which shows that there's partial compliance, that there's some movement. But essentially, level one and two mean you are non-compliant. Level three means you are compliant, that you're operating within the legal ambit, within the legal precepts. However, we've said that level three is not sufficient. We've added a level four, which means that you are fully compliant, but you are now doing things smartly. There's a big difference between level three and four. Level three could mean malicious compliance. Just do the thing because EPSA or the Public Service Commission is looking for it. We think it's imperative that all departments get to level four, and it's possible. Within the first round of assessments, we've identified departments that are at level four, and any department that's not at level four must implement improvements to get to level four. It's only when we have the bulk of departments at level four that we will have efficient, effective public service. The next couple of slides shows some examples of those 31 standards. And I'll just run through it very quickly. So the first example we're putting up is on monitoring and evaluation. And what we essentially want to look at is departments, are they using monitoring and evaluation outputs? So what a department typically does, it's confronted with these four sets of statements, and it decides where they are located. So for level one department, the department does not have an MME policy framework or does not have capacity to generate information. So there's nothing happening. So that's the level one. Level two means monitoring reports are available, but are not used by top management and program managers to track progress. So they've got reports, but they're not doing anything with it. Level three means monitoring reports are used by top management and program managers to track progress and inform improvements. And that's essentially where we want departments to get. You have to use the reports that you generate. But level four means you are doing that, but in addition, you are also conducting evaluation of major programs, and the results of those evaluations are feeding back into your program plans, your business plans, your APPs, and your strategic plans. So it's not impossible for departments to get to level four. And if you're not at level four, there's clearly deficiencies that you need to work on. So what this shows is that we have a column that looks at evidence. So if you rate yourself level two, three, or four, you need to provide this evidence. And through a process of moderation, externally, we will verify that the department's self-assessment is correct, or we will make amendments accordingly. Another standard, just to focus on, is service delivery improvements. Here again, we're looking whether the department has an approved service charter, service standards, and a service delivery improvement plan, and adheres to these to improve services. Now, this is a key initiative of the public service regulations through GPSA in order to address issues of service delivery. And yet, level three, we expect a department to have a service charter, service standards, and a service delivery improvement plan. What do clients or citizens expect from the department? What are the turnaround times? What are the standards? And the department must also display a service charter. So that's what is legally required. However, level 4 says the department must monitor compliance to these service delivery standards, and reports on this must be considered by top management and used to inform the service delivery improvement plan going forward. And progress reports must be regularly considered by top management. So you can see, if you look at these standards, that level 4 is essentially where the department should be. If you look at the last one, supply chain management, we're looking at acquisition management. And here we're looking at the effective and efficient management of the entire acquisition process, from the initial decision on how to approach the market to evaluating supplier performances on the contract. At level 3, we expect and the legislation requires the department have a supplier database in place and update it periodically. Departments must also pay suppliers within 30 days after receipt of the legitimate invoice. Supplier performances are updated on a supplier database and information used in future acquisitions. Now, just to say one more thing about the standard, a department must meet all the sub-statements in level 3 to be a level 3. If they are deficient in one, it means they are level 2. And the improvement plan should focus on fixing that area so they get up to level 3. And that's how we would monitor and measure continuous improvement. So if we just to focus on level 4 then, that the department has a compliance with level 3, but also has a sourcing strategy with which reflects assessment of different procurement methodology options for various categories of spend of the department with a view to choosing the most effective and efficient option for each category. That's what we think is smart. So you can be fully compliant but not smart if you don't do this. Management monitors payment time and adheres to non-compliance with the requirements to pay within 30 days. Proper work administration is in place. Managers perform monitor performance of suppliers against the contract and track remedial action when necessary. So this is a good example where you could be level 3 but be completely inefficient in the way the department spends its budget. If we look at how the Department of Energy has rated itself, so just to recap, this is the department's own assessment of their performance against the standards that we've set. We can see broadly within the performance area of strategic planning, program management, monitoring, and evaluation, the department has scored themselves 3, which means they are compliant, but there is work to do in those areas to ensure that they get to level 4 and operate smartly. Service delivery improvements is a concern. We've identified this concern across most national departments, all national departments, but it's one that the department has identified and hopefully will be putting in place measures to address. I think the only area where the department is at a level 4 is on accountability, which means the annual reporting is done according to fiduciary regulations and on time, and they're available to Parliament, and they have a functioning audit committee. But the rest of the areas within ethics, internal audit, risk management, and delegation, there's clearly room for improvement to get to level 4. On human resource management, we see HR planning to be a particular challenge in the department, as well as staff retention and management of diversity is an issue that the department is at level 1 and below compliance. On performance management, the picture is mixed.
Many of you are more than
sorry. Slow down.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll come back to some of these things in later slides. But if we just try and focus on HR practices and administration, by and large, in many of the areas, the department is at level 3. They need to do things to get to level 4. A concern has been identified by the department in areas of staff retention, important, and it correlates very much with the Auditor General findings about IT. So clearly there is work to be done in that area. And then supply chain, demand management, acquisition management is a big issue. I have shown you the example of acquisition management. But in the whole area of supply chain, the department has identified areas of weaknesses that we hope it will address and that we will be able to see the results of when we do the next round of assessment. So just give you a summary that the department is at level 1 or 2 in services related to service delivery improvement, human resource management, human resource planning, staff retention, management of diversity, and implementing of the SMS, PMDS for the head of the department. And as I mentioned, the whole area of supply chain management is an area that needs to be worked on in the department. The department is compliant with frameworks at level 3, but needs to strive to get to level 4 to operate smartly in those areas. And those areas include planning, the strategic planning alignment, the annual performance plan, program management, monitoring and evaluation, and a number of areas within governance and accountability, functioning of management structures, systems and policies to ensure professional ethics, fraud prevention, internal audit arrangements, risk management, and delegations in terms of the PS, Public Service Act and Public Finance Management Act. So those are areas that the department could do more. There are areas where the department is compliant with the framework, but need to do more. This just continues. So under human resource, we look at in addition organizational design, personnel administration systems, recruitment practices, implementation of SMS, PMDS, management of disciplinary cases, and logistics management. So here the department is at the level 3, but can do work to get to level 4. Areas that the department is doing well in, that we need to acknowledge, is the annual reporting, the functioning of the audit committee, implementation of performance management for levels 1 to 12 staff, and the functioning of the departmental chamber. So there are some positives. There's a lot of areas that the department needs to work on to get to level 4, and we've identified, or the department has identified areas where it's level 1 or 2 that needs to give urgent priority to get to improve their level. This slide just shows the departments when you compare it to the median score of national departments, and you can see the areas where the department is below the median. But just to say that it's important that we get to level 4 across all departments. Just to look at going forward. The department DPME is now in the process of implementing the second round of assessment. As part of this process, the Department of Energy plans to conduct its next self-assessment during October. We've set a deadline for all national departments at the end of October. DPME will be available to come back and present the findings of the 2012-2013 assessment from February onwards. And I think it's only once we start getting two or three cycles that we can begin seeing trends. So what we at pains to say is that the actual result of the department is not as important as the improvement they make from one year to the other. So we'd rather departments have an honest assessment of their strengths and weaknesses and that they are able to improve on it. And hopefully when we come, if we call after figures, we can reflect on the department in that regard. This assessment will be repeated annually, as mentioned. And from 2013-14 financial year onwards, the results of this assessment will be taken into account into the performance assessment of the individual head of department. What we're trying to do is make a stronger correlation between how the department performs and how the head of the department is assessed. It can't be separated. If you look at improving management performance, there's a number of initiatives. In most management areas, we have identified some departments that are able to reach level 4. So that clearly shows that it's not impossible. If some departments are doing it, then we encourage all departments to strive to get there. We've written up some good practice case studies of those departments that are at level 4, departments to level 4 will improve levels of quality of service delivery. An example is getting departments to procure smartly would result in better service delivery by suppliers and contractors and result in huge savings from reducing corruption and increasing value for money. So there is a direct relation when you improve management performance to improve service delivery. In addition, the process of getting top management as a whole to assess itself against a holistic set of good management practice standards and to agree on a required improvement is the main value add of the MPAT assessment process. And again, if you look at international, I think that's one thing we've been able to innovate on from international examples. Management practices in departments are generally weak because top management has not paid sufficient attention to improving them. For as long as administrative issues are in a bad state, they should be viewed as strategic, and top management should pay attention to them. But if what you're saying is your scores on MPAT are poor, then you can be safe to focus on your core business. But if you have problems in that area, it's
care clinic, all departments are required to work with the national HR planning document. How come that they don't have that HR planning? So we are saying that all departments, because when you have your either info or whatever top management that they can have, they are also giving the information that must follow. And we instead of a DG at this present moment, or an HOD within the province, for instance, who doesn't comply with the national requirement perspective. Unless the new introduced documentation, you know, you are expecting that you know, some of the other new financial laws that is, you know, being imparted to the supply chain management system, some of them they may not have because those are new domains. But you are expecting that issues of HR planning, those are the documents that also get approved in terms of how to a development works. Last check, the issue of the IT management system is a problem, not only to departments, but also into other parts of the government. You as a monitoring and performance evaluation department, what are your plans to assist any department or any contractor for us that is having a challenge in the IT system management? So it's a challenge. It's a broad challenge, and it's very difficult for departments to have within immediate effect. And that's why sometimes we become lenient in understanding these kind of challenges when it comes to that IT system management. Thank you.
I think we'll respond to those questions for now. Thank you, Chairperson. I'd like to respond to some of them first and then like to ask Ismail to add. When we developed this management performance assessment tool, one of the lessons that we learned from the international experience is that it's a good idea not to have too many indicators in the tool. To keep the number of indicators, what I mean then is the number of management standards that you're monitoring to a minimum. Because the international experience indicates that if we, for example, measuring 31 management standards here, that if we had 200 or 250 management standards, the international experience is that the system doesn't then work well. It's just too much for departments to handle and it's not effective. So part of our process of producing this tool in consultation with Treasury and ECSA and Auditor General and others was to go through a process of trying to agree amongst all these organizations in the administrative center of government as to which are the key things that we should look at. Inevitably, there are some important things that could be added in here, but they didn't get included just because we wanted to keep the number of standards to a minimum. So, for example, we didn't include the area here of communication. One of the questions was about communication. There isn't a management standard here on external communication. So perhaps also the department is here, perhaps they might want to address that question directly as to whether or not the Department of Energy has got some centralized system for managing communication. There was a question about what do we expect from departments. I think the honourable member is correct that one would expect departments to be complying with the legislation. For example, the public service regulation sets out very clearly that the department must have is for management to then monitor your actual service delivery against your standards continuously, and then to take management measures to improve your service delivery if they're not meeting the standards. That's level four. Level three is just producing the service delivery improvement plan, writing the standards, and submitting them to the DPSA. That's compliance. But at level, to get to level four, you must show evidence that as management, for example, your ministers or management meetings, that you are actually regular, that you're actually measuring and monitoring the quality of your service delivery, and you're comparing that to your standards, and you're taking actions to address weaknesses in service delivery where you're not meeting your standards. So it's a very good example of what we're trying to achieve in terms of not only getting departments to be compliant with the laws and regulations, but also to use that compliance to actually improve performance and to improve service delivery. So we would expect now that the departments, since we did these assessments and shared the results with the departments, we would expect the departments to be working both to become compliant and to be also working smartly. The Honourable Member also asked whether non-compliance is due to legislation or regulations being new. It largely isn't. Most of the things that are being monitored here are not new. I don't think the main reason is that the regulations or legislation is new. I think the main reason is that as we say in our conclusion slide, that top management has just not paid sufficient attention to addressing these issues and to fixing these basic administrative issues in this department. And it's important that top management does pay attention to these issues until such time as they are in good faith. The point that we're trying to make is that while some people might argue that administrative issues such as these are not strategic issues, and that the top management of the department must focus on strategic issues rather than administrative issues, we're trying to send a message to the department that as long as the administrative issues are not in a good state, they are strategic. And it's important for you to focus on fixing them, and then once they're fixed, once they're fixed and working well and you're level four in all of these areas, then it's fine to say that they're not strategic anymore, and top management can focus on other more strategic issues. But as long as these things are in a bad state, and we think that the fact that many of these things are in a bad state, many of these management practices are in a bad state, is one of the key causes of performance problems and service delivery problems across government. For example, the area of supply chain management. And many departments, both at national and provincial level, scored poorly in the whole area of supply chain management. Scored themselves in this self-assessment process poorly in terms of supply chain management. I think we know that a lot of service delivery problems in government are related to these weaknesses in supply chain management, weaknesses in procurement. The distribution sector, for example, the problems with that are basically supply chain management problems with logistics management, problems with procurement management. So if we can get management to fixing these things and putting in place much better generic management practices in these areas, we think it has the potential to have a big impact on improving the performance of government and in improving service delivery.
Chair, if I can just maybe add, you just covered most of it. But I think what has happened in this first round of assessment, we had close to 120 departments that did the self-assessment. That's given us a very good sense of the baseline. So we also quite keen not to hammer departments or be too harsh on them for being honest. I think we want to recognize if a department is honest and identifies we've got weaknesses, that should be good, it should be encouraged. Once we redo the assessment, this next cycle and the previous cycle, and you don't see improvements or you see regression, then it's an issue that needs to be of concern. But I think for now we appreciate that many departments have taken an honest approach. So across the 120 departments that have done it, we've got detailed information on the 31 standards. We have handed out a separate track which includes all of those 31 standards in detail. And we have now a very nice picture of in which areas majority of departments are struggling, in which areas we seem to be okay. And the next big issue is then to work with partners like DPSA and National are concerned that many departments are level one or level two. It is our mandate and responsibility to work with those departments, put in programs, and to make sure we increase the overall monitoring and evaluation standard in the country. But similarly, we want to work with GPSA National Treasury to fix up the HR and to fix up the financial areas. So, and the financial and supply chain in particular. But I think we've got a very good baseline, and I think it's important to see how the next round of assessment looks and if we are making any improvements.
Thank you, sir. That's what my understanding. What do I have in TA is the server. When I'm getting the next round, motivation, terminal, and subject.
Thank you, sir. So my question is that we just have, seen the first phase of assessment, how to improve. I'm going to the second one. My question is that what are the specific measures? When you don't see any improvement, it should be something that must check the person. That must say you must take responsibility. Because if you can just say no, the others then they can get this thing, if you don't get it, assess them again. You know, who's the chicken in our garden? For honey and cans, not the father shop. You must be able to, if these people don't comply, and they are getting paid big bucks, they must jump. We can't always, have the people sports cake here, I want to check what are the limited measures. If the person doesn't comply, then what? Thank you.
That's quite harsh. Phase 8 refers to feedback, circle of feedback that surrounded the improvement. How is that done? It's a very interesting thing. That's in level 4.
Thank you, Chairperson.
failed to take action. And then finally, it's also the responsibility of the minister or the NEC to take disciplinary action against the ACD if the ACD fails to take disciplinary action where necessary. So we do have a system within government for punitive measures. The action we take to link this assessment process to the performance, to that performance assessment system, is that we have agreements with DPSA and agreements with Cabinet that the results of these assessments from the 2013-2014 year onwards will be an important part of the assessment process for individual government departments at both national and provincial level. So then it will be up, then the performance assessment of the DPSA is going to issue regulations requiring that the assessment process for all HODs must include consideration of the results of these management performance assessments. So it will then be difficult for an HOD to argue that they have performed well if these management performance assessments continuously show no improvement or not addressing basic compliance issues or even regression. We have a challenge in that we need to improve the functioning of that individual performance management system. It often is not functioning as well as it could be functioning. And that is a challenge that for all of government to get that performance management system working better so that it effectively deals with patient flows for performance. Just one final comment, Chairperson, is that in response to your comment that the presentation is very terse, we can do it differently in terms of spelling it out a lot more. We've done terse here in the sense that if you look at slides 10 and 11, we provided a summary for each of the 31 management areas for the department. But in order to be able to see the whole picture or to be able to get a more complete picture from this presentation, you need to read each of these against the management standards. So you've also got a pack for the management, for each of the management standards. So if we look, for example, at the one at the top here, the management area of strategic planning alignment, where the Department of Energy scored itself a 3. If you read the management standards for strategic planning alignment, which is in your pack, it will tell you exactly what does it mean that they're doing or not doing at 3. Because if you read the management standards, which is number 1.1.1 in your pack, it says what is a 3. It means that the department, which is a 3, is doing A, B, C, and D, and because it's not a 4, you know it's not doing certain things as well. But what we can do is we can assist by providing you with a document where we spell all of that out and we link this to what it means from the management standard. Thank you, Chair.
Yeah, I think just also to say that a full report, narrative report, is available at our website with detailed report cards for all departments. We can see we've got some hard copies we can make available to the committee. So we can do that. Just in terms of the evidence, stakeholders' feedback on the FPIP, what we do have is a separate moderation criteria. So this is what moderators would look at when they look at the evidence. So essentially, when you put something there in an evidence requirement, it's the onus of the department to provide us with the evidence. So here we're flexible. So prove to us that you are doing it, either by means of minutes of a forum, or you have some communication program. It's not defined precisely, but it leaves room for the department to convince and to show the proof as to what they're actually doing in that area. And what we will then do is pick up some of those things that good practice and write it up and share it with others. So at level 4, it's beyond compliance, and that's where we really
Chair, I just wanted to give the committee some comfort in terms of the progress on the department on what has been presented. What we've done since the process started, we have actually put this item as part of our monthly ESCO meeting agenda. 2 weeks ago, we had this debate. I had to present just to answer to the owners and member who is responsible for the correct information out of the department. This is my area of responsibility. And what we've done, we put that into our agenda. And as such, the last presentation I made to ex-coaches and adopted by the ex-coaches, all the divisions and the DG, was that all the ones that we had and all the tools that we have are now all sitting at three. There's only one that is left, which is the issue of the SDIP, so the service learning program can, but they are a bit of a challenge. It's got a lot of history in it, which unfortunately the Department of Energy don't have history, was very young. So most of the information that we have is needs to be put into a specific format. The information is there, but you need to come up now and draft what you call your charter, you draft what you call your plan. Because what we normally do, when we do our strike plan, we do identify the areas of service delivery within that environment. But we don't have a document that talks to that, so that collectively this is where the department is sitting. So most of the things are done, but in terms of the format is implemented, we don't have that. That's why we ended up with all the ones. But on the areas of policies, the honest member has actually asked on, when we moved from the DME, the decision taken by our principals was that we will continue to implement the policies as they were done within DME. But we are not going to check our policies and just simply go to the MS, to the MS work and say, replace the DME with DOE. Because we have done that in their policies. Because we have just done that exercise before we did it with the Department of Energy, Minerals and Energy. So what we did, when this exercise came, most of the policies are asking for our HR policy, our IT policy, all those things were either sitting in the process of approval in the department, was best to go back and review each of those policies, one by one, to say how does it fit to our new environment and also to our new mandate. Are the areas that we have to change in terms of that, rather than just adopt them and say, after all, there's cross-cutting issues like finance, just say, finance, one by one, or this kind of approach. We didn't do that. We went through each and every one of them to say, are we happy with this one, the way it's been put? So when this exercise was done, that's why we don't have the areas of IT, HR, finance done, but all of them have gone through the system over the past. I think the last block was signed off about two months ago. So all of them have gone through the system, they've been approved by ESCO, they've gone through the DBC, which is the Department of Government Chamber, where I think that all of those things have gone through the learning process and we've got them available. So I just wanted to comment that we have, in terms of all the institutions, they've finalized all the processes, but most of them were in the process of being developed in the department. So the only challenge that we have left now is the issue of the SDIP.